Good. I'd like for you to make your way to the first, very first book in the Bible. That would be Genesis. That's right. That would be Genesis, beginnings. That's what it means. Genesis, beginnings. That'll be our text today, Genesis chapter 3. The last few weeks, I've been speaking about the evil time in which we live. The Bible calls it perilous times. Perilous times will come in the last days, the Bible says. And I've brought out several things about Satan's war against our families, Satan's war against our children, Satan's war against marriage. Today I want to talk about Satan's war against the truth. Satan's war against truth. And if you're here in Genesis chapter 3, we're going to read beginning in verse 1. Now the serpent, and we know who the serpent is. That old serpent, Revelation 12 calls him, that old serpent, the devil, the dragon. Now the serpent was more subtle. Subtle means cunning, crafty, sly, shrewd. The serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Did God really say that? I mean, actually, did God actually say that? Questioning God, doubting God, doubting God's word. That's what the devil does. He raises up these doubts and questions and so forth. Did God really say that? This is incredulity. Incredulity means disbelief. I can't believe he said that. You're familiar with incredulity. Somebody tells you something. Did they really say that? Verse 2, and the woman said unto the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God hath said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. She knew what God said. She knew what God had said, and she could cite his prohibition, I mean, almost word for word. She knew what God said back in Genesis 2:17. But here in verse 4, the serpent said unto the woman, you shall not surely die. You shall not actually die. That's the text. You shall not actually die. You will not die. You certainly will not die. I mean, he's very sure. You will not die. In fact, one version translates it, you most assuredly will not die. So, you know what the devil's saying? It's a lie. You're not going to die. It's not true. So, the devil, the serpent, accuses God of lying. Satan is saying that God has deceived you. God has told you something that is not true. He said you'll die, but I assure you, you will not die. In verse 5, the devil accuses God of having ulterior motives. For God does know that in the day you eat thereof, then your eyes will be opened. Here's the sell. He's going to sell the lie. Your eyes will be open, and you will be as gods, knowing good and evil. The Hebrew, you'll be as Elohim, mighty gods, possessing God's own power, knowing all that's to be known about good and about evil. That's the devil's sell. Now, I guess we could say to her credit, Eve had never heard a lie before. And the serpent was very convincing. He was very convincing. And he was so certain. And he was so knowledgeable. He made it sound so exciting to partake of this fruit. The promises were just, I mean, how can I now live without that? You know, it's like the infomercials. You know what the infomercial is? You never knew you couldn't live without something until you saw it in the infomercial. But after you saw that Bowflex machine, you realize, I have to have that. I don't know how I've lived without it. In fact, my life has not been complete, and now I know why. I didn't have a Bowflex, or I didn't have a Thighmaster, or a George Foreman grill. Don't knock George Foreman's grill. It made $200 million a year for him. And Bowflex, $193 million annually. Infomercials work. Yeah, they work. That's why I think Thighmaster racked up about $100 million. And that was the stupidest little gadget I ever saw. Except for the Ronco, what did they call it, little Ronco? Pocket Fisherman. Popeil, Popeil, that's what, Popeil Pocket Fisherman? Who could live without it? And who would have thought that a vacuum cleaner could add so much joy to my life? But after I saw it on the infomercial, I realized this is why I have this empty spot, you know. That. But that's the idea. That's the sell. You don't know what you're missing. Make it really attractive. So the devil makes these promises. And then she saw the forbidden tree. Now, surely, something that was so specifically forbidden by God, something that would bring death, that tree must have been some gnarly, nasty, horrible looking thing for it to bring death. If you, something so deadly, it's got to be horrible. It had to be repulsive. You would think so. But lo and behold, something deadly, something forbidden by God can actually look beautiful and enticing. You know, like sin. Something deadly and specifically forbidden can be made to look very attractive. Verse 6, Genesis 3, 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she had to have it. She took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And verse 7 says, and the eyes of them both were opened. Well, Satan told them in verse 5, your eyes will be opened. Well, they were. Their eyes were opened and they realized they were naked. Innocence was gone. Innocence was gone forever. They knew that they were naked. They sewed fig leaves together. They made themselves aprons. God said they would also gain knowledge, verse 5. And they did. They knew that they did wrong. And when they heard God, when they heard God coming, walking, because, you know, God was manifesting as a human, probably Christ pre-incarnate, but walking in the garden with them every day, in fellowship, in intimacy, every day. Verse 8 says, they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Now they were conscious of their sin. Their eyes were opened. They had knowledge. Their innocence was gone, and it was replaced with guilt and shame. And people in guilt and shame either repent or they hide from God. Amen. Run from God, deny God, reject God. And so they hid. And sin has hindered that intimate fellowship with God in mankind ever since. You know, I've said in the past, and I know you've heard it before, that God hates pride. It's one of the sins that God absolutely hates, because it was pride that brought about Satan's downfall. Remember, he was called the anointed cherub that covered. He walked amidst the stones of fire. He was in heaven. He was with the Lord from eternity. I mean, God created him, but he was in eternity past. And it was pride that brought about Lucifer's downfall. Ezekiel 28:17, you don't have to turn there, but it says, thine heart, speaking to Satan, Lucifer, thine heart was lifted up, you know, in pride because of thy beauty. And thou hast corrupted thy wisdom, because Satan was very wise, but you've corrupted your wisdom by the reason of your brightness. It was pride that brought about his downfall. It was pride. The one version translates that verse, your heart grew arrogant because of your beauty. You annihilated your wisdom because of your splendor. So my point is, it was pride that brought about Lucifer's downfall, right? It was pride that brought about Lucifer's downfall. Just as God hates pride, God hates lies. Amen. Because it was a lie that was bought by Adam and Eve. Right. That infomercial they couldn't resist. It was a lie that led to their disobedience that brought about mankind's downfall. Pride brought about Satan's downfall. Lies brought about mankind's downfall, because mankind, they bought it. So God hates pride. These six things, Proverbs 6 says, does the Lord hate. These six things does the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination to him. Proverbs 6:16. What are they? A proud look. Number one, a proud look. Haughty eyes, arrogance, pride. Number two. What's number two? It's lies. Well, God hates lies. And if you're listening to any voice at any time that contradicts the Word of God, the voice of God, then you're listening to the devil. Amen. The devil can speak through people. He can use people. Remember, the Lord told Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Told Peter that, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Satan was using him. Satan can use Peter. He can use anybody. He can use anybody to dispel doubt, unbelief, skepticism, whatever. But Satan was saying, "You will not die." If you all will remember, in John chapter 8, the Lord told the Pharisees, he told the Jews, you don't have to turn there either, but John 8:44, he told them, "You are of your father, the devil." Not everybody is God's child. He told these religious Pharisees, "Your father is the devil, and the lusts of your father you will do." He said he was a murderer from the beginning, and he did not abide in the truth because there's no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks of his own. That is, it's coming out of his own being, his own heart. Because, here's what the Lord said, he is a liar and the father of it. Satan is the original liar. There's no truth in him. When he lies, it's coming from within himself. He's the father of lies. He's the original liar. And right there in the garden, that passage we just read, we see how good of a liar Satan actually is. He is a very effective liar. In fact, I think lies are one of the most powerful tools in Satan's toolbox. He uses it often. He uses it continuously. He's a liar, and lies work. We've got a whole nation deceived right now. In fact, we've got a whole world deceived. I mean, look what Satan's lies did. Romans 5 and verse 12 says, whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, death came into the world by that sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. So while there was no sin in the world until Lucifer lied to Adam and Eve, and they bought his infomercial, they bought his lies, they bought his promises, ate the forbidden fruit, and the Bible says that's when death entered into the world. Death entered, and death brought everything that's evil with it. Sickness, every kind of disease, it came into the world with death. That didn't exist before sin. That the garden was perfect. But with death came disease, sickness, illness. With death, through sin, calamity entered into the world. The world became a very dangerous place. It was a very safe place before. It was blessed. But, you know, in the garden, because of man's sin, the Bible says, cursed is the earth because of what you've done. The whole earth came under a divine curse. And now this whole world is a very dangerous place to live. Everywhere. The mountains quake, the seas roar, the thunder, the lightning, the hurricanes, the tornadoes. The world is dangerous. There's calamity, there's tragedy, there's death, there's loss, there's grief, there's sorrow, there's sickness, there's suffering, there's pain. All entered with sin. All entered with the entrance of sin came death, and it was all because of a devil's lie. A devil's lie. And that brought about mankind's downfall. These six things doth the Lord hate. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, that's right, a heart that devises wicked imaginations, feet that are swift to run towards evil or towards mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, again, twice lies make the list of the forbidden seven or the abominable seven, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Seven things God absolutely hates. Two of the seven lies. God hates lies. They are abominable unto him. It's reinforced in Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 22. Lying lips are an abomination unto the Lord, the Bible says. And we could see why they would be, because of the harm that they cause. Lies is what got us here. It's why we where we are. Lies destroy, lies deceive. They cause gullible people to swallow lies. And, you know, Satan lied to the woman in the garden, but I don't believe that was his first lie. I don't believe that was Lucifer's first lie. At least let's say it probably wasn't his first lie. His first lie had to be up in heaven, when he managed to convince a third of God's angels to follow him in his rebellion. Somehow, he had to persuade holy angels to follow him. I mean, He has to be the prince of persuasion in order to cause angels to rebel against Almighty God. So when Lucifer's saying all these things in Isaiah 14, thou hast said in thy heart, I will ascend unto the heavens, I will exalt my throne above the stars of God, I'll sit upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north, I'll ascend into the heights of the clouds, I will be like the Most High. He had to not only be telling himself that, he had to be extolling all of his power, his might, his ambition, all of that to these angels. And some of them bought it. In fact, a whole lot of them bought it. Because you got Revelation 12 where a third of the sons of God, a third of the stars of heaven followed him in the fall. Gives you a little bit of a glimpse of just how persuasive Satan can be. That's why you and I have to always be lie detectors. We have to be walking, talking, breathing lie detectors. And how do you know if something's a lie? Well, if it contradicts the truth, it's a lie. And if it's a lie, it's not from God. Because the Bible tells us God is truth. He is truth. Jesus said, I'm the way. The truth. I mean, truth is his name. I am the truth. Because that describes his character. But I want to tell you something else that I don't want us to miss in this Genesis 3 passage before I move off of it. Satan employed a tactic in convincing Adam and Eve to fall, to take of the forbidden fruit. He deployed what you might call a bodacious tactic. Bold. I mean a bold-faced lying tactic. And it was very successful. And ever since then, people have followed this tactic continuously. In fact, once I tell you what it is, you're going to recognize it. And you're going to recognize it every time you listen to a politician. Because this tactic has been followed by mankind ever since. This is the tactic. You accuse your opponent or your enemy of doing the horrible, evil things that you are doing. You accuse your enemy of the villainy that you are committing. They do it all the time. It's the devil saying, has God said? Has God, did he actually tell you that? Well, you see this everywhere. I mean, I was dumbfounded not long ago hearing Vladimir Putin's justification for invading the Ukraine, a nation that was dwelling there without provocation. What did they do? They didn't do anything to Russia. But Russia started bombing them, shelling their cities. What are cities? Population centers. You know, military targets, yeah, but you bomb population centers? Murdering civilians, first by the hundreds, then by the thousands, now by the tens, and maybe hundreds of thousands. Specifically targeting women, specifically targeting schools, nurseries, hospitals, civilians trying to evacuate, specifically targeting them, bombing them, missile attacks, troops, Russian troops raping, pillaging, murdering, killing unarmed civilians, showing no mercy. And Putin goes worldwide and says, we are liberating the Ukrainian people from the Nazi regime that is oppressing them. Wow. Wow. We're liberators. They're happy that we're here. The Ukrainian people are happy we're here murdering them. They're very happy we're here raping their daughters and wives. Putin is accusing the Ukrainian people of doing what he was doing. He said, we are here to denazify the Ukraine. I think he made that word up, but denazify. But everybody got the point. We're the good guys here, he said. We're the good guys. They want us to be here to free them from this oppressive dictatorship, this illegitimate government, he calls it. So, but, you know, Putin has always lived in an alternate universe. He accuses them of war crimes, the war crimes that he's committing. But you all ever heard of the big lie? You remember the, some of you who are old enough, you remember the big lie, the Joseph Goebbels propagandist for Nazi Germany. If you tell a lie big enough, make it bold enough, repeat it often enough, people will believe it. So Satan's war on truth, it began all the way back in the Garden of Eden, but it continues to this day. In fact, if anything, it has intensified in these last days. The Bible calls these last days perilous times. The Bible calls them evil times. And the Bible also warns us, 2 Timothy chapter 4, that in these last days, people will not endure sound doctrine, but they will turn away their ears from the truth. They'll have these itching ears that'll seek out false teachers, false doctrines. They'll turn their ears away from the truth, and they'll be turned unto fables. Well, in this war against truth, truth is the target. Truth is Satan's target. And I'll tell you, truth is not something abstract or foggy. Truth is simply this: God's word. And it's very important that we realize that truth is God's word. What did Jesus say? John 17:17, thy word. In his priestly prayer, John 17, Jesus's high priestly prayer, Father, thy word is truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Psalms 119:160, the Bible says, thy word is true from the beginning. From beginning to end, the word of God is true. Jesus Christ being truth incarnate. So Christ isn't here personally to be the target of the devil's arrows. So the truth tellers become the target of the devil's arrows. That's you, that's me, that's anybody actually who tells the truth, who speaks the truth. And of course, the word of God itself is the target of the devil's arrows, because you've got so-called scholars who want to cast doubts upon the veracity, validity of the truth of the word of God that we want to tune out, of course. And then nowadays, you've got this cancel culture, wokeism that has risen up across America. That accuses those who tell the truth of outrageous offenses, even violence against their persons, if you speak the truth to them.
Yeah, amen.
Truth has become the new hate speech in modern America. In fact, the war on truth in America has even become a war against reality. Just simple reality. I can give you a quick example. If you've had to study English or writing of any kind, you've had to study what is a personal pronoun. It's just a little short word that we use as a substitute for a proper name, you know, the name of a person. So in English, personal pronouns, things like, well, they give us gender, number. It speaks of a person. Things like I, you, he, she, it, we, they, me, him, her, us. These are all personal pronouns. And they stand in like you use these personal pronouns in grammar when you're writing a sentence or making a sentence because they make the sentence just flow rather than being really cumbersome. I'm going to give you an example. You know, sometimes I fish with the big guy in the back there, Captain Ron. For those of you who don't know Captain Ron, they call him Captain Ahab, but Captain Ron brought us. All right, I'm writing a fishing article about Captain Ron, and here's the beginning of the article. I'm not going to use any pronouns, so I want you to see how cumbersome this is. Captain Ron Broadus is a charter captain. Captain Ron Broadus keeps a boat in Delacroix Island. And Captain Ron Broadus has been taking people fishing for over 20 years. Captain Ron Broadus formerly worked... No personal pronouns. Now, if we put in just one or two personal pronouns, it reads like this. Captain Ron Broadus is a charter captain. He keeps a boat in Delacroix Island. And he has been taking people fishing for over 20 years. He formerly, you see, doesn't that sound better? Yeah. Isn't that smoother? Isn't that so much less cumbersome? Right. Personal pronouns are good. They do good things. Well, they identified Captain Ron as a male. He, right? It identified him in the singular because he's one person, he. So, you know, you got the masculine gender here, you got the singular. If you're talking about two people, it would be they or them. You know, you'd use plural personal pronouns. But into now, wokeism and the cancel culture and the new world of transgender activism and gender identity, better known as mass confusion. The war on truth has become the war against reality. So, this is what's happening in universities across America, hopefully not locally, but I don't know, maybe some of the, yeah, okay, it's knocking on our doors down here in the South too. So the universities are going woke. Institutions, companies, employers, all of this is being, they are being compelled to go woke. So I want to read a couple things to you. Can you bear with me for a second?
Sure.
All right. According to dictionary.com, in the list of singular personal pronouns, words she, her, he, and him are unique in that they are used to specify a person's or an animal's gender. While these are the most common, there are plenty of other personal pronouns available that don't carry any kind of association with a particular gender. And it is important, underlined, highlighted, important not to misidentify someone, even accidentally, by carelessly using gendered language. Don't you dare assume that a man is a he or a woman is a she. They may be neither. They may be the opposite of what you think. They may be something else entirely in their imagination. So the article says, now, this is dictionary.com. Luckily, there's an easy way to ensure your speech and writing is inclusive of all gender identities. You can use gender-neutral language. If you don't know which personal pronoun is best to use, the word they is just what you need. So a he is a they, a she is a they. Everybody's a they, and that way, at least you're safe, maybe. Maybe you're safe because you're not calling a man, or a woman. So now my sentence about Captain Ron becomes this. Captain Rod Broadus is a charter captain. They have been keeping a boat in Delacroix Island, And they have been taking people fishing for over 20 years. They formerly worked. They is plural. But this is what I'm supposed to use now, I guess. But the dictionary says they can be male or female. True. Or it can be neither one. Well, you know, it can be non-binary. So this goes on and on, but the importance is it's vitally important to use the pronouns that a person prefers. Now, this activism, this trans activism is so powerful. They have influence way beyond their numbers. They have powerfully influenced our nation, aided by the people in authority in Washington, D.C. Did you know that the Merriam-Webster Dictionary has altered its definition of male and female? What is a female? Well, you know, the last person to be seated on the Supreme Court couldn't answer the question, what is a woman? Or didn't want to answer it for fear of offending the trans community. That's why. That's the kind of power and influence these people have. So now the dictionary says the definition of a female, having a gender identity that is opposite of male. Well, then let's look up what is a male. Having a gender identity that is opposite of female. What is a gender identity then? A gender identity is a person's internal sense of being male, female, some combination of both, or neither male nor female. You know, this is all pretend. I mean, this is all make-believe. This is not the truth. This is a make-believe world that has departed from reality. America has become unmoored from reality. The boat has drifted far out to sea. The further we get from God, the more we have entered into the twilight zone, where the rest of us are compelled to pretend along with them. We have to pretend, too, that this big guy with the beard and the dress is a woman. Can we adjust this a little bit to, well, this is actually put out by the LGBTQRS, Resource Center website. This is actually on their website under the heading Pronouns, a how-to guide. This is a how-to guide of pronouns. So this is just a bunch of made-up names. Instead of he, she, and so forth, you see these over here? Instead of he, she, now you call a person zai, sai, I, vi, te, e, if that's what they want. You know, in universities all across America, professors are asking students in their class, what is your preferred personal pronoun? Is it you want to be he or her? Or you want to be zai, zi, e, ve, ti, zim, zai, im, ver, ti, im, zir, hir, her, herself, terself. Can you imagine you got 40 students, everybody's got a different pronoun. How are you going to remember that? And if you offend them by using the wrong pronoun, oh, God forbid, you're in trouble with the woke police. But this has become standard procedure. Did they do that to you? They did it to you? Preferred pronouns? This is higher education. It's rather LGBT indoctrination. It is indoctrination. It's fantasy. You know, the English personal pronouns, they've done pretty well for 400 or 500. How long the English language been around? 500, 600, 700 years? They've done pretty good. You know, I looked at all of these lists. I have another list for you, but it was on another slide. I'm not even going to worry about showing you that one. This is approved stuff put out by the LGBT LGBTQ Resource Center. And I got to wondering, I wonder what these young people would do if they wound up in boot camp. If America goes to war and they wound up in boot camp and they expect their drill instructor to ask them what their personal pronouns are. I would tend to think that they might hear names attached to them, their personal identity that maybe they never heard before. The war against truth has become a war against just plain old reality. And you know, universities are compelling students to comply or be punished. You comply or you are punished. You have to use this terminology or you can be canceled, scorned, labeled as a bigot, a hater, intolerant. You can get reported to the woke police, whoever they are, forced into remedial classes. Teachers have been reprimanded, some even fired for not complying, accused of insubordination or abusive behavior. Professors have been reprimanded, punished, even fired for, again, non-compliance. Even students themselves are not immune from the woke police. I want to read something to you that happened on November 22nd, 2020 at the state, New York State University. A young man, a student named Owen Stevens, posted an Instagram video. This is his own private Instagram account. He posted an Instagram video, and I want you to listen to this abusive, hate-filled speech that he put out in public for the whole world to hear. He said, "Hey, everybody, I'm going to double down on this point right now. I want to make myself very clear, so hear what I'm saying. Here comes the hate. A man is a man. A woman is a woman. A man is not a woman, and a woman is not a man. A man cannot become a woman, and a woman cannot become a man. If I'm a man and I think I'm a woman, I'm still a man. If I'm a woman who thinks I'm a man, I'm still a woman. Regardless of what you feel on the inside, it's irrelevant to your biological status. It doesn't change your biology. The biology is very clear. It's very, very, very clear. And it is binary, and it is easy. You are either a man or a woman." That was labeled hate speech. For this, he was found to be in violation of the university's inclusivity rules, specifically the School's Dignity for All Students Act. Dignity for All Students Act, which mandates that teachers foster a diverse campus community marked by mutual respect for the unique talents and contributions of each individual. As a result, he was suspended from his field teaching programs. Not only so, but his status will remain the same until he successfully completes a remediation plan. You have to be reprogrammed, son, because you think a man is a man and a woman is a woman, and that you can't be something else. I also read this past week that in most universities, the number of liberal professors outnumber the conservative professors, in some cases, 99% to 1. liberal professor. What kind of education you think a kid's going to get in a liberal university where they have bought into this woke nonsense? What do you think they're going to be taught? Lies. I wrote on the web, my little website this past week, my little Facebook page, a society that punishes people who tell the truth and rewards those who lie is not sustainable in the long term. But, you know, truth is hate speech. Truth is banished. It's forbidden, and plain old reality is completely ignored. If that's not crazy enough, wokeness has come to the medical profession, into hospitals, research facilities, and so on. Doctors, nurses, scientists cannot speak out, or let's say they better not speak out on issues that would upset the LGBTQ community, because you can be fired if you tell the truth. As a doctor, a professor, doesn't matter how much prestige you have in some of these hospitals or training universities. A very prestigious, well-known doctor, I've talked about him before, in Boston, was terminated because he was a board member in a very prestigious hospital that was going to support a gay pride run. And the hospital was the big supporter of the whole thing. They were behind the whole thing. And he had the unmitigated gall to suggest that maybe the hospital shouldn't be involved in promoting a lifestyle that has proven to be so detrimental to public health. Because if you are a practicing member of the homosexual community, you are subject to such a wide range of sexually transmitted diseases. And there are diseases that ravage that community that most others aren't affected by. Plus, those who live that lifestyle have a much higher incidence of alcoholism, a much higher incidence of drug addiction, a much higher incidence of depression and suicide than their peers in other communities. Also, their lifespan is generally shorter by 20 years than their heterosexual peers. So this doctor had the audacity to say, maybe we shouldn't promote that kind of a lifestyle. Well, he was terminated because they said his beliefs did not align with the values of the hospital. There are doctors, there are researchers, professors, psychiatrists, psychologists who know that homosexuality is a choice. You were not born that way, but that it is a choice. They know it, but they dare not say it. Not in public. Even if they write about it, they won't publish their works. Can't get publishers. Or they get banned from places like Amazon and so forth. Those who know that a homosexual can change, that they can change their lifestyle, actually change their sexual orientation, you can't say it. If a young man is struggling with same-sex attraction, you are not supposed to counsel him against that he can change that orientation. You are not supposed to tell them they can change. Or you can be reprimanded, punished. Some of these people can lose their credentials and so forth. Even now, we're under a public health emergency because of the monkeypox vaccine. And they say, they are at least saying it is spread predominantly among the homosexual community, those who are very sexually active with multiple partners, but you mostly hear them play that down and say it's spread by contact, skin to skin, and so forth. But 95% of the cases or in the homosexual community. But you better be careful how you report that, because they do not want to be stigmatized, and you'll get fired. You're a news media person, you could get fired. I want to, one last passage. I want to read a passage in Isaiah chapter 59, if you would make your way over there with me, if you have your Bible. Y'all still awake?
Yes.
This is what Isaiah 59 says. I'm going to read beginning in verse 13. God is speaking through Isaiah about the sin of the nation. In Isaiah 59, he says, beginning in verse 13, "In transgression and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood." I mean, all kinds of lies are being spilled out. Verse 14, "Judgment," that is justice, "is turned away." Justice is turned back. "And justice," judgment is turned away, "and justice," uprightness, righteousness, that's what that means, godliness, "stands far off, for truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter." Equity meaning here honesty, morality, uprightness. Equity is not allowed. Morality, not allowed. Uprightness, not allowed. Truth is fallen in the street. Fallen, it actually reads, truth is fallen in the public square. Honesty finds no place there. Honesty, whatever happened to simple honesty? Just telling the truth. Truth is verboten, forbidden. You cannot, in this society, telling the truth can get you in trouble. But we must not be silenced by the serpent's lies. In an age of untruth and lies, in an age of deception, you and I must not be silenced. We have to stand up to this foolishness. We cannot be compelled to call a man a woman or to even fall for any of this nonsense. It's all a big, gigantic lie. It's the emperor has no clothes. I mean, it's the most ridiculous, outrageous. What's happened to America? We've got to be bold. We've got to be honest, and we've got to be kind. We do have to be kind because, look, these people, these poor young people, they are so deceived. I mean, these professors that they respect and they think they are so wise, they are impressed by these professors who are telling them this nonsense. So the Bible speaks about us speaking the truth. This is our obligation. We must speak the truth. Tell the truth. Be a truth teller. But let's also tell the truth in love. You know, let it be spoken because we care. We care about people. We care about these young people. But the truth must be spoken. Ephesians 4, verse 15. Speaking the truth. Let's speak that truth. Let's tell the truth. Let's not be timid. Let's not be shy. But let's speak it in love. Brother Dave Walker told me last night about a dream he had driving down the highway in a car with several of his friends in it, several people in the car. And they, as they drove by, they saw a young woman being assaulted by couple of men. They were assaulting her, raping her, and they saw this going on right there, and the car just, they just drove by and watched this terrible assault going on, and they did nothing. They just drove on by, and that was the dream. Well, I thought about that a little bit last night, and obviously it can easily apply to what perhaps we're doing even as Christians. We see this assault on truth, assault on what is precious, what should be guarded, what should be precious, what should be treasured. We see this assault taking place. And we say nothing, we do nothing, we just ignore it, we just pass by. Well, I think we need to say plenty. I think we need to say a whole lot, and I think we ought to say most of it in prayer. Amen. We have plenty to say. We have plenty to say, and that's where it needs to start. We need to start with prayer. And that's also where I believe it'll do the most good. But we also must not ignore what's going on in our community. We have to live here too. And we cannot be compelled to speak lies. We cannot be compelled. We must not be compelled to speak lies. It violates our conscience. And while I don't want to hurt your feelings, sir, I mean, you know, like I've said before, a nice dress and all, but that dress doesn't make you a girl. You'll never be a girl. You can have surgery. You can have all the chemicals, all the steroids. You're never going to be a girl. You're never going to have a menstrual cycle. You're never going to have a uterus. You're never going to have a womb. You don't have the right DNA. You're never going to be a girl. And you can emasculate yourself. You can go through all the surgery. And all you're going to do is now be an emasculated man with woman's breasts, but you're going to be even more unhappy than you were before, much more unhappy than you were before, because you realize that wasn't the problem all along. The problem was right here in my own heart. And of course, the answer to it all is people need the Lord. Amen. People need the Lord Jesus Christ, because he brings the peace that is not available otherwise. So, brother, sister, let's stand up for what's true and what's right, even if you find yourself sometimes standing alone. Let's speak the truth. Let's do it in love. Let's do it because we care. And let's remember that these people are lost, lost, lost souls who walk in darkness and who need the light of Christ, the light of the gospel, because that's the only way they'll ever have peace in their hearts and minds and souls, the only way they'll ever have rest, and certainly the only way they'll ever have salvation, eternal life. Let's pray. Father, I pray today for all of those who are trapped in this false belief that men can be women and women men, this confusion, this spirit of confusion that has swept across America and the world. I pray for those trapped and blinded by it. Lord, I pray that you would help us to be bold and courageous in being truthful and in shining the light of Christ everywhere and in every place. And Lord, let us do it with good hearts and right hearts and in the right spirit. Lord, let us shine the light because we care. Lord, I pray for all of those who are even now influenced by the lies and the falsehoods, that feelings can change our gender. Lord, when we know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made just the way you designed us, just the way you designed us to be. I pray, Lord, for those struggling with those thoughts and feelings, Lord, that they would come to peace with who you made them to be. Lord, most of all, I pray that their eyes and hearts be open so that they know you, the one true God, the one way to heaven, the one way to peace. Let them know you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would open hearts and ears and eyes and bring them to true repentance, remorse, a turn, a change, a transformation in their lives, and faith in Christ. Produce that in each and every of their hearts, we pray. all of this, Lord. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Praise God. We are going to receive communion this morning.